Greetings, everyone. Welcome to services for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Hope you had a real good night to be much observed last night unto the Lord. And it's really quite a night because that is a night in which Israel began his journey out of Egypt. And pictures when we began our journey out of Egypt of this world. Now, God has a wonderful way of having the Bible written. And that is, if you believe it, you'll begin to understand it. If you don't, you won't. And if you begin to obey, then he will give you some understanding. Now then, he also has things that he hides. Like I wrote in the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, that God has hidden his plan from generations and ages. Okay? Well, he's done something quite profound with the holy days. Now let's come to Leviticus 23, which is this. If you don't believe God, and if you won't obey him, then you will never understand the holy days. The reason is very simple. Those tell what God's plan is. And he has saved that for those who will love him and serve him. Another way is to put it in the Old Testament to see if you can understand the physical things that he requires of it, and also to compare with the spiritual. Because the way God does things is there's the physical first and then the spiritual. Okay? Just like with us. We're physical. We're looking toward eternal life. We came in the flesh first, and then we have to be resurrected to spirit. Likewise with the holy days. Here they are listed. And people read it and they say, well, there's sacrifices there. And so therefore, that's the Old Testament and all of this has been done away. Well, which came first? The days or the sacrifices? The days. All right. Now, we know all about the Sabbath, so we won't read that. But let's pick it up here in verse 4. These are the appointed feast of the Lord. They belong to him. He made them. He created them. He designed them. Holy convocations, meaning we come before God in the holy assembly, which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. The 14th day of the first month between the evenings is the Lord's Passover. Now that's the center of everything. Everything begins with the Passover. And that's why there are so many things that are all mixed up with the Passover. Now, we won't get into that. You already understand that. On the very next day. Now, he didn't put in here the night to be much observed. He put that in Exodus 12. Okay. So this shows another way that God has hidden things. Little here, little there, line here, line there, and then you put it together. Okay. 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. You must eat unleavened bread 7 days. So we will. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation, which is today, and we're here. You shall not do any servile work therein, but you shall offer a fire offering to the Lord 7 days. Now the priests were to have the offerings being burnt at the temple and so forth. So that part was with the offerings that they would bring. Now we're going to see there is another offering that was also given on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which becomes a very, very important one for Israel and for us. And then it says that on the seventh day you shall have a holy convocation. Now, Deuteronomy 16, let's examine that for just a minute. This conveys to us that there were other offerings that we were to bring. Deuteronomy 16. You all know this maybe by heart. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose. Now then, since Jerusalem has been removed from the place to be chosen, except for those who may live there now, where is the place that God chooses? What did Jesus say? Wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. Okay? In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man, everyone, is able, gives as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So we look at the blessings, and not all blessings are physical. Blessing of the Holy Spirit, blessing of understanding his word, blessing of understanding the holy days, the blessings of being able to have direct prayer to God the Father and Jesus Christ, knowing that God loves us and we love him. All of those are blessings that we need to consider when we bring an offering to God. And Paul tells us that God is able to make all sufficiency abound to us in everything. So at this time, we'll go ahead and pause and we'll take up an offering. All right, now let's continue on and let's see what the day portion of the Passover is for. After they assembled at Ramses from Goshen. Now let's come back to Exodus 13 and let's see that this helps us answer a question concerning Deuteronomy 16, the first part of it. Okay. Let's pick it up here. Chapter 13, verse 1. After, we will see here, remember this day. We'll see that in just a minute. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify all the firstborn to me. Okay. All the firstborn. Now, in the New Testament, so here we have the physical. Now we will talk about the spiritual as well. In the New Testament, the church is called what? The church of the firstborn. Now, we will answer the question about the female's firstborn. Okay? Let's go forward here. Man and beast, it is mine, belongs to God. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord has brought you out from this place by the strength of his hand. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. On this day you're going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be, when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in its month. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, and in the seventh day there shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall be no leavened bread seen with you, nor shall there be leaven seen with you in all your borders. Now, if you think cleaning out your house is a chore, try the whole country. Okay? And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done, this is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Now, the Passover is the passing over, sparing the firstborn. This is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we will see what kind of preparations were made for the Feast of Unleavened Bread as well. And it shall be a sign to you upon your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. Now, isn't it interesting you carry this over spiritually? Where is it to be with us? Well, we'll see. In our hearts and in our minds. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this law in its season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb. Every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, all the males are the Lord's. Okay? And it is the male who determines the sex, all human beings and also all animals. Okay? So the question becomes, what about the female? Okay? We'll answer that in just a bit. But notice how important this is. Now, compare this spiritually. This is so important to God physically. Think what we are as the Church of the Firstborn, how important we are to God spiritually. Okay? He says, every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Now, that's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't it? If you don't redeem it, you don't get it. And all the firstborn of man among your sons and daughters, among your sons, rather, we'll get to daughters in a minute here, you shall redeem. And when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what does this mean? Now, that's different from what it was with the Passover. Remember when children ask, what does this mean? It's because the Lord passed over our houses and spared the firstborn. But look, all the firstborn of men had to be redeemed. How did God do it with all Israel? Well, you have to come to the book of Numbers. And God redeemed all the firstborn of the children of Israel by counting the firstborn and counting all the sons of Levi. And the sons of Levi were the redemption for the firstborn when they first came out of Egypt. And there was a difference between small number, which they then had to offer offerings. Okay? So when you come out of Egypt, now what does that mean for us today? What did the Lord do for us when we came out of the world and were baptized? He gave us his Holy Spirit. All right. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 14. Let's answer the question. Now, as we're turning there, Deuteronomy 14, let me ask you a question. All of the first, no, it's 12, beg your pardon, not 14. Okay, chapter 12, okay. All of the firstborn males belong to God. Why? God created Adam first. Where did woman come from? From man. Same thing today. Okay? So therefore, the firstborn male belongs to God. But what about the female? Let's read it here. Okay? When you redeemed your son, you had to give an offering. Okay? Now let's see what happens with the female here. Okay? Let's pick it up in verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons, your daughters, your manservants, your female servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, there, because he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourselves that you do not offer burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of your tribes, there shall you offer your burnt offerings, and there shall you do all that I command you. Okay. However, as much as you desire, you may slaughter and eat flesh in all your gates. Everything other than what belonged to God, you could slaughter and eat at home. No problem. All right. Now then, verse 17. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain or of your wine or of your oil or of the firstborn of your flocks or of your herds or any of your vows which you vow or your freewill offerings or heave offerings of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. You and your sons and your daughter and your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite within your gate. Okay. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you put your hand to. All right. So, the firstborn belongs to God. How then is the female accounted for? And that is to be used at the feast. Okay? That then can be offered as a peace offering to the Lord. Okay? Because it says here, you may not eat within your gates. Now drop down here. The firstborn of your herds doesn't distinguish male or female there, does it? But you can't eat the firstborn of the male, can you? Because that belongs to God, does it not? Yes, it does. Okay. So, that's the way we're able to understand how does God recognize the firstborn that is a female. It is used for the feasts. Okay? Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 16 and let's see something else. Now, the first part of Deuteronomy 16 is used by many people, especially the Jews, to claim that God changed the sacrifice from a domestic sacrifice to a temple sacrifice. And that's one of the reasons why the Passover book was written. All right. Deuteronomy 16. Now, you have to remember two things. Passover meaning is what? Passing over your houses. Sparing your firstborn. First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is what? Leaving Egypt. Okay? Now, if you read any Jewish literature today, what you're going to find, you will find that they say that the Passover that they are keeping, which is a day later, is in remembrance of leaving Egypt. And as one rabbi wrote, he said, We no longer keep the 14th Passover because we are walking in the footsteps of the sins of our fathers, and we are no longer in the land. So the Jews don't keep a 14th Passover because they're in exile. So rather than admit and say, well, we're in exile because of our sins, they're not going to admit that. No, they say God changed the Passover. No, he didn't change the Passover. They did, and they correctly, because they reject Christ in the New Testament, they correctly do not keep the 14th because they are in exile. Now, the only ones who can keep the 14th are those Jews where? In the land. Now, there are some there. Do they keep the 14th? No, they don't. Okay. So let's read it here. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Keep the month of Abib and observe the Passover to the Lord your God. That's one. How do you observe the Passover? When is the Passover day? The 14th. Okay. Then, period. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. That's the 15th, beginning of the 15th. Now here is the catch. How do we understand this? You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember the day you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. There shall no leaven be seen with you in all your borders for 7 days, nor shall there any of the flesh which you sacrificed in the first day at sunset remain all night until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover offering within any of your gates that the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there you shall offer the Passover offering at sunset, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall boil and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Interesting. Only place in the whole Bible. 6 days. And on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work. All right. Does sound like it was moved. Can you see any problems with what is here compared to Exodus 12? Okay. Exodus 12 said you were to take a kid from the flock. It can be either a goat or a lamb. Okay. This one says flock and herd. It's different. Even though it's called a Passover offering. Okay. And the other one is, you shall boil it. Exodus 12 says, you shall not boil it in water at all. And if you've got a King James Version, it is sodden. Okay? So what are we talking about here? Well, what happened on the day portion of the Passover day when the children of Israel were going to go out of the land of Egypt? They stayed in their houses all night until sunrise, correct? Okay. Then they left. Where were their houses? In Goshen. From where did they leave Egypt? Ramses. Okay. How did they get there? Well, they walked and gathered, and Moses had it all organized, this tribe go here, this tribe go here, and all ready for their marching columns. Okay. What did he tell them on that first day? Remember this day, and remember what? All the firstborn of man and beast belong to me. And they were to redeem it what? Did it say you were to redeem it with a lamb? How about if you redeemed it with a calf? Could do that as well. Okay? How about if you were really, really poor and all you could afford was a pigeon or two? You still redeem. Okay? So, what happens here in Deuteronomy 16 is this. They were to go where God was to have his tabernacle. And one of the first things they would do when they got there was to have the animal for redemption. Now, how many of the people had sons and daughters at that time? All the males had to be redeemed, didn't they? So what happened was this. On the day portion of the Passover, after they got done with the regular sacrifices, then the people could come with their redemption offering and have it redeemed and the blood sprinkled at the altar. And then they would take that animal and they would go to their tents, wherever their tents were, gathered around Jerusalem. And there they would have various places where they could go ahead and take the portion of the meat that belonged to them and take it there and roast it and eat it or boil it, either one. See? Now, what else does it say here? It says, and in the morning you shall turn to your tents. What does this tell us? And celebrating the night much to be observed, they stayed up all night. Okay? So there you go. Now, there is an offering, it's called a peace offering, that could be offered, and there's even one that could be offered with leavened bread, but not during unleavened bread. Okay? And the peace offering could either be roasted or it could be boiled, and they had to eat the flesh by morning. That's the only offering. All the others are, you're not to eat it after the third day. Okay? So that's quite a detailed study if you get into it. So here you are coming to keep the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then on the day portion of the Passover, after they offered the regular sacrifices, then you could bring the animals of redemption. So this is what it's talking about. And redemption would be from the flock or from the herd. Okay. If you have any more questions, it's in the Passover book. All right. Now then, Feast of Unleavened Bread becomes very important. And also, the sacrifices that were made show that we have to show God how much we love him by obeying him and doing the things that he says. Now, it's the same way with the New Testament. All right? We have to put leaven out of our homes, but that's a type of what? Putting sin out of our lives So when we come to the New Testament, we are confronted with not the SS, but with the SSS. Come to Mark 7. What is the SSS? Okay. And that's more dangerous than the Gestapo. The SSS is Satan, sin, and self. Okay. Now, Satan, we know, 2 Chronicles 4:4, is the god of this world. Ephesians 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. Revelation 12 says he's deceiving the whole world. And we can see that happening, and he's doing it, and he controls it. Okay, that's why we live in the world, but we're not part of the world. And the thing that keeps us from being part in the world is that we keep the commandments of God and have the Spirit of God. And we understand human nature. World is bewildered by human nature. They don't understand it. So Christ made it very clear. All he would have to do is read this, Mark 7, verse 21. And also, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we have human nature that is hostile to God. All right? Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts. Okay, first thing, evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, and murders. And this is the key to everything that's on television. Dolores and I are struck every time we hear some of these ads and some of the medications that they have. You know, everyone's running around smiling and happy and everything is good. And they tell you real quickly, in some cases you may die. You know? But it's good for you. See? Okay. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evils go forth from within and defile the man. And this is the leaven within. See? And how do we get it out? Only through Christ. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Only through the sacrifice of Christ and his shed blood, and by loving and obeying God, keeping his commandments. Okay? 1 Corinthians 5, and let's pick it up here in verse 6. Okay? Isn't it interesting? Who is this fellow that died? This singer, what was his name? Prince. I don't know why so many of the singers get all wrapped up in drugs and degeneracy, and then they pass away. Like, who was the other one that passed away on drugs? Michael Jackson. And they ran specials on the news all about this guy. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be different if they had some special? Christ died to have your sins forgiven. Run that on the news. This is the day of his death, the Passover day. It's important to God. It's important to you. Oh, no. Prince died at 57. Okay? That's all I remember of it because I turned the channel. You know? Okay? Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Now, I don't think there are many of us old enough. I'm not old enough, so I don't think there are many of us old enough. Maybe Alice is close to it there. Okay. But think of how everything has changed with radio, printing press, movies, later on then television, now all these handheld devices, now all of this virtual reality. Can you imagine what the virtual reality is going to do to your mind? You put this thing on and you're in this fantasy world. And what is it all about? What games do the children have? They're all games of war, killing, looting. Okay? Tell you it's something. But they glory in it. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Remember, what was it, 1939? What was the movie? Gone with the Wind? And Clark Gable swore. And the whole world was upset. Oh, how could he break the code of ethics for actors? Look at it now. Okay? Down to the very depths of everything. Some of them are not public yet, but they're available. Okay? And it starts out. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin gets through everything. Therefore, purge off the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. This is what we need to do. We are responsible, and we have to put the leaven not only out of our houses, but since leaven during unleavened bread is a type of sin, we are to see the sin within and get rid of it. Get it out of our system, see? That you may become a new lump. Now, you don't become a new lump unless you have the Spirit of God to get rid of sin. You can't get rid of the sin within unless you have the Spirit of God. You have no power to overcome it yourself. Now, I can tell you this by experience, and you probably know this, so I'm not telling you anything new. That when you're trying to overcome a sin or difficulty, there are some that are hard to get out of your mind, right? And some things that just come in there that is really difficult to get rid of. That takes prayer. That takes study. That takes being alert and being aware, using the Spirit of God to purge it out. Okay? And that's a lifetime process, all right? As you are unleavened. Now, let me ask you a question which will answer this question here. What good does it do to get rid of leaven out of your house if you do not overcome the leaven of sin within? Does getting the leaven out of your house make you more righteous? No, that is only there to show you how common and how absolutely the world and our lives are filled with sin without God. That's why God uses leaven as a type of sin. So if you just unleaven your home and you go on your own way, see, and don't change, you've accomplished nothing. Why? For Christ, our Passover was sacrificed for us. Now that sacrifice, it has not been applied to the world yet. It will be in God's plan. That's why we have the holy days to understand. We are the firstborn church. Christ is our sacrifice of redemption from this world, just like God required them to offer a sacrifice for the firstborn to redeem them. He gave his own son as a sacrifice to redeem us so that we belong to God. See? We don't belong to a church. The church is the whole thing of wherever the people of God are. That's the church. Yes, we belong to a church because we attend. That is true. But the church cannot make us righteous. Only the Spirit of God can make us righteous. See? So notice what he says here, and then we'll take a short break. Okay? For this reason, the very reason of the death of Christ, let us keep the feast. New Testament command to keep the feast of unleavened bread, is that not? Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, which we read in Matthew 7, is deep within. See? Now, we will see how tricky the mind is in a little bit. Because even the sin deep within, those who don't have the Holy Spirit of God within them to expose that sin as sin, they think they're right. Yes, they think they're right. Okay. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, you can be sincere without truth, but you cannot get rid of evil without sincerity and truth. And that comes from Christ. Okay? So let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll be back.